The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Have you ever heard of a little-known retailer called Sam's Walmart or a membership wholesale club called Sam's Club? I thought you might have. All kidding aside, Walmart, now the world's largest retailer, was started in 1947 by Sam Walton, who was a small business owner with one retail store in Arkansas, which he purchased with $5,000 he saved, plus a $20,000 loan from his father-in-law. He launched Sam's Club 35 years later as a bulk savings depot, and get this, he did it to be in business for small business. Every business starts small, but its success or failure depends not only on the abilities, but also on the vision of its leader and the team he or she assembles. Catherine Corley, Vice President for Business Member Services, joined Sam's Club in 2007, inspired by Sam Walton's mission to help entrepreneurs. Working in the food services industry throughout her career, she joined Sam's Club to scale her passion for small business prosperity to millions of Sam's Club business members. Prior to joining Sam's Club, Catherine worked for Tyson's Foods and received the Emerging Leader Award for the Women's Food Services Forum. And Catherine also serves on the Small Business Development Council of U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Advisory Council of the National Association of Women Business Owners. And it is my pleasure to have her on the show today. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, clearly you have had a terrific executive career in before 2007, before Sam's Club, with some companies that are very well known to all of us, namely Tyson Foods. I'm just wondering, what makes somebody leave an executive position like that in a great company to go to Sam's Club, also a great company, but it must have been something else that drove you there?
At Tyson Foods, I worked in a food service business, so we worked with a lot of restaurants, small restaurants and large restaurants, chains. And one of the things that was always disappointing is we saw the chains grow and in strength, and we saw the independent restaurants really start to decline. And we really lamented that because it's the mom-and-pop restaurant that's, you know, really part of the backbone of our economy. And they were real innovators in terms of their food and their concepts and their hospitality. But they didn't have the purchasing scale that the national chains did. And when I talked about the opportunity at Sam's Club, I saw an organization that could, for once and for all, level the playing field for these mom-and-pop restaurants. Because at Sam's Club, they were using their national global scale to buy goods and then pass them on to these small business owners so that they would have equal parity in terms of cost of goods versus their chain restaurant down the street.
So, but it isn't only about food. There are other goods and services that that Sam's Club provides, that is, that are appropriate for those who are in business outside of the food industry business. Isn't that correct?
Yes, we serve all kinds of micro businesses. We like to say we have about 600,000 small businesses walking through our door every day, and it is everything from auto dealers to hair salons to entrepreneurs to doctor's offices. So it is a wide range. We also have a lot of churches, leagues, and organizations. And one of the unique things about Sam's Club is that you can shop it both for your business as well as your personal needs. And I know a lot of restaurant owners that talk about what they get for their business, but they also point to the clothes that they're wearing and they say, that's from Sam's Club.
Yep.
And their TV's at home.
Yep. So, it appears from everything I have read and every documentary I've seen about Sam Walton that his leadership, all of course, the leadership of his successors now, started under his leadership some years ago, and it's still very much fueled by the same principles. Can you talk a little bit about that? What makes a behemoth of a company operate on all cylinders all around the globe? And from everyone I talk to who works there or has worked there, makes it appear as though it's still a reasonably small company.
Yes, it's probably one of the biggest small companies you'd ever find.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the things that is so appealing. It's a very purpose-driven company. And Sam Walton, his vision and his purpose for making lives better for consumers as well as small business members is just enduring. And the people that work here believe in his mission and his purpose. We live by our strong four basic beliefs: respect for the individual, striving for excellence, service to the customer, and above all else, integrity. It's ingrained in us. It's how we treat each other. And we know that the customer is the boss, and the customer gets to fire us. So we know who pays our check, and we are always focused on how can we better serve our customer and our member.
You're making a terrific point that you know who pays your check. And if you ask most people who pays their check, they will probably say their company. But that
right.
Isn't so. It's the customer of the company.
Absolutely. Without customers, you don't have a company.
Indeed. Being such a large organization, do you find that creativity for new products and services is, or programs or whatever, is still part of the cornerstone of the Sam Walton legacy?
Oh, yes. The entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well at Walmart. And as a matter of fact, there is the Sam Walton Entrepreneurial Award that is given every year at the shareholders meeting. And it's for individuals or groups of people who are innovating new ways to serve our customers and our members. So, yes, and that is one of the things that really attracted me, especially the Sam's Club. It's a very entrepreneurial environment. They're willing to test and learn and consider new ideas.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Sustainability has been a passion, and you know, when Walmart gets behind doing something, it's really big, and it's really exciting when they get behind doing something that is for good. And so the whole company has been focused on sustainability. We have many, many stories of how we've reduced gas emissions, how we have lowered miles being driven by our trucks, and it's caused us to be more efficient, and at the same time, we're taking so much waste away, and the impact that we can have is so big, and it's inspired all of our associates. I think on some level, all of our associates are involved in sustainability, either through a team, an initiative, or their own personal sustainability plans.
One of the big negatives of large organizations is that when an organization like that gets on a path to whatever it is, to wherever it is that they are going, it's almost trying to stop a tanker from its charted course. It isn't easy to change course because of the built-in inertia that goes along with it. This is a shining example of this corporation has been able to flex and change direction, adjust to its daily grind, if you will, on a dime. I mean, I have read about it, and I'm sure you can tell us how it is that, despite its large size, this is an organization that it is very flexible and very much in line with what smaller organizations tend to do.
Yes, and again, I'd say it goes back to our culture. Sam was never satisfied, never thought he knew everything. And every Saturday morning meeting, they would talk about the week before and what they had seen in the stores and what they had seen in the competition and what they should do differently. And they would make notes on what they were going to do differently the very next week. So I think it's, you know, always never being complacent and always learning from our associates, what we're hearing from our customers and our members, and learning from the competition.
You said Saturday morning meetings, or did I mishear you?
Yes, Saturday morning meetings have been part of our culture. And when Sam was here, he did it every Saturday. These days, we do it one Saturday a month, and it is really a big part of our culture and really special. And if you ever get a chance, Chris, to come to one of our meetings, I think you would understand how special it is.
I can imagine. So you joined the company in 2007. In 2008, we all remember what happened to the economy. And, of course, that hit small businesses worse than larger businesses in a variety of different ways, not the least of which was the almost immediate disappearance of access to capital for small businesses. How has this organization dealt with this? Because clearly, when you don't have the capital to purchase the goods and services that you need, that brings into play a domino effect that does not end up in a good place.
That's true. And, you know, it's interesting because access to capital has always been an issue for small businesses and entrepreneurs, even for Sam Walton. He was lucky that he had $5,000 in savings and that he could get a $20,000 loan from his father-in-law because he couldn't get one from a bank. And so that's always been the issue. Now, most small businesses have found ways around that. But what happened in the recession was alternative capital sources dried up. So if you think about it, at the time, credit cards were reducing their credit lines. And then home values were losing. And so a lot of small businesses are financed either through credit cards or through home equity lines of credit, or through friends and family. So that was what we were facing.
Let's talk more about that when we come back from a short break. My guest is Catherine Corley. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Catherine Corley. Please visit her corporate website, samsclub.com, and follow her on Twitter at samsclub. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com, or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. So before the break, we were starting to talk about the impact that the economic downturn in 2008 had on small business, and especially how that impacted small businesses' access to capital. And Catherine, you were telling us that most businesses are financed usually not only by bank loans, but also smaller businesses, startups, are friends and family, credit cards, home loans, equity loans, and the like. And I believe that's where we had stopped.
That's right. So it was at the time when there really was no even just working capital loans, and the small businesses were just trying to stay afloat so that they could get money to, you know, pay their employees and to buy inventory. So we had found a lender of SBA-backed loans, and we worked with them to make that available to our small business members. And they were available, they could find out information in the club, but it was a very easy process online. And immediately we saw the demand for these loans, and they were typically about, you know, average loan size $10,000 or $11,000. And we saw, you know, businesses starting businesses. We saw them hire employees, buy equipment, grow their revenues. So a really amazing program. And we've since expanded that. We're all of our Sam's Club giving program, for the most part, is going toward small business lending through micro lenders and nonprofits and training. And I have even a recent story. Just in August 2012, there's a Dr. Tremaine Singleton who wanted to start his own chiropractor practice, and he was in Columbia, South Carolina. He approached 22 different banks about getting a small business loan and was rejected by all of them. And then he went on samsclub.com and he came across the SBA loan, and he was funded with a loan, and he got his business up and running. And today he's seeing about 100 patients a week, and he's hoping that his goal for 2014 is to have 200 patients a week and to maybe go on a vacation.
Well, it's not only what the company does by helping small business owners, but it is the goodwill that buys the company is cannot be measured in dollars and cents, because that doctor or any person who was facing the destruction of their business, basically, without capital coming in, when they were able to get a lifeline from one of those loans on Sam's Club site, you don't forget that. And you want to thank your benefactor by keeping on the patronage. And it's an extremely smart way to do business that it does good all the way around.
It does, yes. It's not a transactional relationship at that point.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely right. Now, every business, some more so than others, has access to data. And we all pay an awful lot of money to access data and customize data so that we know everything there is to know about our customer. But while that information is there, very few people are looking at it in a win-win scenario. I know that, again, now at the uphill of the rebounding of the economy, Sam's Club had a program where you were learning more about your customers to serve them better through data analysis. Is that correct?
That is correct. Being a membership organization, we know a lot about our members and how they spend in the club. And because of that relationship, our members expect us to know them so that we can serve them in a very relevant way, communicate to them in a very relevant way. We supplement that with a lot of surveys that we do. We do formal surveys. We do point-in-time surveys on specific subjects so we understand what's on their mind. And then every day in the clubs, we're talking with our members to find out what's going on with them, and we're sharing those stories back. We continue to get more sophisticated with data and analytics, and it helps us because our members are busy. They have busy lives. And so if we can simplify that, by understanding them so well that we know what their needs are and we can communicate to them at the right time with the right offer, then we're helping make their lives a little better.
So being in business for small business is really something that is not only ingrained in the corporate culture, but it is the mission of the organization, and it is its reason for being.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I'm assuming, continues to obviously this very day, and there are ways that proliferates in other areas other than the SBA loans that you have mentioned before, and the constant knowledge and creativity of your customer. What other areas would you say that you differ from other clubs that are out there?
Well, we do have early shopping hours just for our small business members because we know that they have to get in and out really quick, and time is money for them. Another program that we have for them, we call it Click and Pull, and basically they can go online by 5 p.m. on a certain day, place an order, and our associates will pull it for them and have it ready for them. So they can just come into the club, pay for it, and be on their way. Those are two areas where we differ from our competitors in trying to serve our member and understand how pressed they are for time.
We have a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Daniel in Colorado Springs, and he is asking, the last few years have been very difficult for small businesses. What are the top resources or programs small businesses can go to at Sam's Club for assistance?
One of the things that we're doing, we have funded some small business boot camps, and we're working with local SCORE chapters and chambers of commerce to host these trainings. So that's an example of programs that small business owners can take advantage of. And then online, too, we try to provide resources for small businesses, other sites that can help them with training, of course, the SBA loans and access to capital. The two greatest needs that our small businesses have are really cash and then also how to grow their top line. We're working really hard to innovate and bring new services to market that will make life easier for the small business. So services that can allow them to work on their business instead of in their business so much.
Yep. Yeah. Here's a company that you mentioned earlier that you have Saturday meetings. Now monthly, used to be weekly.
Mm-hmm.
To what degree does the organization foster a family spirit, if you will? And by that, I mean working hard at work, but having time for the family. It impresses me as very much of a family-focused organization.
It is a very family-focused organization, and even at the Saturday morning meetings, you can see everybody's babies. They bring their kids. They bring their spouses. It's a lot of fun. We also have, policies around flexibility, so understanding that, you know, parents have needs, and sometimes that means that they need a little bit of flexibility, so we definitely offer that to our associates. That's one of the reasons why we did go to the monthly Saturday morning meeting, because every Saturday was a bit much when you've worked so hard during the week and you need a little bit of downtime on the weekend with your family.
Exactly. So the title of this show is Create a Path and Stay on It.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently is one of Sam Walton's big beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on that for us? What does that mean exactly?
Well, I think to be successful in business, you need to have a very clear vision of what you want to accomplish, and then you need to stay focused on it. And there's many things that can distract you. There are new areas of growth, but it may not be core to your mission and who you're trying to serve. And so it always helps to ground yourself in what are you trying to accomplish and stay focused on that, and don't get distracted by other things.
And of course, that must also mean that, the path to success is not something that is a simple thing, nor is it something that it does not have its potholes along the way. But if you hit one of those, even if you get a flat tire, kind of move on with it, because the more promising stuff is at the end of that road.
Well, and if it's an exciting and compelling enough vision, you're going to be able to persevere through those potholes. And I know I was in a meeting and they were talking about David Klass, who succeeded Sam Walton, and he would challenge his people, you know, to put down a clear vision. What can you accomplish? And then he'd probably raise the stakes a little bit more and put the goal a little higher. And then look at the associate, and they would say, well, we can't do that. Well, tell me how you could do that. And suddenly the wheels start churning. It's a big goal, just like sustainability. Huge goals. No idea how we're going to get there. But you put teams in place, and you start breaking it down, and pretty soon you can figure out how to get past that pothole.
Well said. My guest is Catherine Corley. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Catherine Corley. Please visit samsclub.com and follow the organization on Twitter at Sam's Club. We have a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Donna in Lexington, Kentucky. She says, being newly married with the hopes of having a family, I would like to know your best advice for juggling career, kids, and couples time.
And it is definitely a juggle. And I ask others all the time how they do it. And I actually remember being at a women's conference, and I was pregnant, and I went to a table of on work-life balance. And it was so encouraging to hear other women talk about how they balance career and family. And it's never the same answer. You need a support system. And then I think the most important thing is really setting expectations. Letting work know that, you know, I'm going to have to leave at 5 today or I'm not going to be able to go on that business trip. Because if you don't set those guardrails, then you'll be doing everything. So sometimes it's your own kind of, it's your own self setting those guidelines that makes the biggest impact. And same thing with family. And sometimes we kind of look at it as a bank account. I got to pull out of the family bank to do some work. And then sometimes I'm going to have to pull out of the work bank to attend to my family. So I think the great thing is that you have it all. You have family, you have a career, you have husband, you enjoy doing things, and while it's kind of nerve-wracking, it's a blessing all the same.
What would you say to those who think that if they miss a business trip or they miss a function, that they're doomed, their career is as good as gone, and they have to be there, do everything all the time, 24/7, in order for them to advance?
I would say that's not true. I used to be scared to take a vacation, but I'll also tell you that my career never really took off until I had a child. I used to be one of those people that worked 7 days a week, and I'd work as much as I could. And, you know, when you work that much, you tend to work on everything. You know, even some small things, it may not matter. When I had a baby and my time was limited, I had to prioritize. And so I found myself not working on small things, but only working on the things that really mattered and could drive the business forward.
And that's an incredibly good question and answer, because like you, I recall when I was first in corporate America, it was I had 2 weeks vacation back then, which was the maximum anyone could have. And there was 1 year that I took only 1 week, and the other week could not be transferred. So I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convinced in my mind at that point that the organization didn't work unless I was behind my desk. And that isn't so. There is, in fact, there are many incredibly successful organizations out there today, of course, albeit 30 years later, but they have sabbaticals as a necessary part of your work schedule that every so often, I believe, I'm referring to Apple, that I think that Apple has a mandatory six-week break at least once a year. That they understand that unless your own head is clear and screwed on straight, you're no good to the company.
Yes, I call it recreation is re-creation. You have to give yourself, allow yourself some downtime to really be effective at work. If you're burning the candle, you're not going to be there for your associates. You're not going to come up with the best new innovative ideas. You have to allow yourself that time.
We have another question from one of our listeners. This comes from Sally in Jacksonville, Florida. She obviously heard the comment that you made earlier about small business, and she says, Catherine, you mentioned a boot camp for small business. Would you please explain the details, topics covered, cost, length of course, and how to apply?
Yes. So we have been providing, we provided a $500,000 grant to 25 community organizations. Some of them are in SCORE chapters, and then some of them are chambers of commerce. And so it differs in each of the boot camp areas. We've done 12, and we're going to do 13 more through the summer.
Can you give us some idea of the topics covered?
Sure. Everything from, let's see, I can actually give you an example. We had a Grow Your Business Boot Camp in February at the Indiana Innovation Center. And Gail Ward had started her small business, which was called the Glow on the Go, and it's spray tanning services for her community in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And she was connected with a grantee at the Indiana Innovation Center and received a mentor. And the mentor really helped her set a business plan and help her manage her financials, and then also set up a training manual for new hires and looking at ways to expand the business. She said that she felt like the boot camp was life-changing. It was awesome, and to know that someone like Sam's on a local business, on a local basis, cared that I succeeded meant a lot, and I never had that experience. Her business was growing, but she didn't have a plan or financials in order, and that boot camp helped her realize that she needed to set herself up for success.
And instead of another question, we've got a comment, which this show is turning out to a Sam's Club fan club. It says, I'm a small business owner and a member of Sam's Club and just want to say I love it. That comes from Charlie from Chantilly, Virginia. Thank you, Charlie. I'm sure that everybody who's been at any Sam's Club loves it too. You are obviously a very successful woman, an executive who has held those high positions in more than one organization. And all too often, we hear two things about women in executive positions, and especially in positions of board of directors. A is that they're not enough, and B is that when women are in positions of leadership, things tend to happen faster. There is more likelihood to reach consensus sooner. There is less debate that is lengthy without an end point. What's your experience in that?
One of the things that attracted me to Walmart to begin with was the fact that at the time in 2007, they had three women on the board, and there were very few companies that had three women. And there's been a lot of research that would say you need at least three at the table, because if there's only one woman, they're kind of the odd man out.
Yep.
So it's not until you get three that you can make an impact. And I have been advancing gender diversity for my entire career. And here at Walmart, we have a women's officer caucus. And one of the things that we do is we get together and we support each other through development, through encouragement, through friendship. And then we also have mentoring circles. So we reach out to women who are not officer candidates but have high potential. And we all have circles of women that we meet with on a regular basis. And we teach them, train them, help them learn how to network, be successful, and put them in the pipeline for growth to be an officer someday.
It seems as though leadership and leadership development is a large part of what the organization does. Is that not so?
That's true, yes.
So many would say, well, leadership is a thing that comes from somebody's head. Others will say that it's something that comes from somebody's gut. Others would say it's something that comes from the heart. And those who say that is that they support that leadership is about connection and shared sense of mission, so that those who are great leaders in business, politics, or religion, they are in the same arena and they are together working to champion their common cause. What kind of leadership would you say is your preferred, whether it is your personal preference or the company's preference?
I'd say probably for the company, you know, it is leading with the heart and the shared purpose that we have to make lives better. I'd say for myself, I consider myself to be a visionary leader. So I look for opportunities, again, to help serve our members and then leveraging just the scale and the resources that we have can, it's amazing what we can accomplish to bring those things to bear to better serve our members.
We're 2 minutes away from our next break. Anyone who works in any company, that companies, whether it will be culture, whether it will be their experience at work, their daily activity, not only does they have an impact on them professionally, but it has an impact on them personally. Some turn out to say that, you know, I'm a better spouse because I work at X place. Not very many say that, but many would say that I'm a better parent. I'm a better son, daughter, whatever. Has your time at Sam's Club influenced the way you think, the way you feel about things?
Yes. I'd say probably one of the biggest impacts working at Walmart and Sam's Club has had on me is called the 10-foot rule. And if you don't know what the 10-foot rule is, it's you look up at a person, I don't care who they are, you look them in the eye and you smile at them. And I find myself doing that all the time. And I love it, and I love the response that it gets. And that has definitely made me a better person.
And what is the name of that rule again?
The 10-foot rule. When you come in within 10 feet of somebody, look them in the eye, smile, and greet them.
And that's an incredible thing. And that may very well be part of the Walmart culture, I suppose, because not very many places have greeters as you walk into the stores, but yours does. Let's talk more about that when we come back from a short break. My guest is Catherine Corley. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, passion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Catherine Corley. Please visit her corporate website, samsclub.com, and visit them on Twitter at Sam's Club. We were talking earlier about standing 10 feet in front of a person, looking them straight in the eye and smiling at them. But that is something that I think not only is it unnatural to do for many people, but it takes a little bit of training. And I think that many, many people do it best when they have done it and failed. And because that usually happens with time, I believe that those in their more senior years tend to be better than those in their earlier years. Matter of fact, I was telling Catherine earlier that, you'll be hard-pressed to find a teenager that you can pay any amount of money to and have them stand in front of 10 feet in front of somebody's face and smile without knowing that person. I think it's hormonally impossible. Yet, for all the bad rap that Walmart gets for employing the elderly, being greeters or having a whatever position within the organization, two major things are happening there, both of them terrific. Number one is that it gives a place for somebody to hear, you know, a hello and welcome to your shopping palace, which is something that you normally don't get in most stores. But from a very personal level, that elderly person who is standing there, it gives their life a purpose. It gives them something to do. It keeps them away from the nursing home. It gives them the activity and the socialization that as America is getting older by the day, that purpose becomes that much more important. I'd love to have your take on that, Catherine.
There's a lot of people who would love to retire and be a Walmart greeter. They always say they'll do it. And we get to hear such inspiring stories. Of, you know, just later in life and being a Walmart greeter or a greeter at Sam's Club and how much they love that role. And they get up every day and they feel needed. And the members and the customers, they love it. And we hear that too, even with, you know, some who might be cashiers also. They'll wait in line to get behind a certain cashier. And at Sam's Club, you know, I know a business member that tells me, you know, when I'm working in my business, I'm just me. I'm working my business. But when I come into Sam's Club, I'm somebody. I'm greeted. They know me by name. They know my family. They know my business. I talk to them. And sometimes that's the only chance I get during the day to really have that interaction.
And isn't that important? I mean, it's incredibly important for that, because so many businesses, especially small businesses, nowadays with the communications being what they are and everybody being connected, everybody tends to be more disconnected on a social level, because we're constantly in front of a computer, and because that enables us to do so many things that we couldn't do without being present in the past, the socialization that used to happen is not there. And when you walk into a place and you feel like you're somebody, if that is the only thing you get out of a visit at any place, it's a terrific thing to have, because again, it's one of those intangibles that people don't forget. It's something that brings value.
Absolutely, and it's alive and well at Sam's Club. I see it every time I go out into the clubs, and I see the interaction with small businesses and with our associates, and we have a program called Who's That Member? where we encourage our associates to get to know our small business members, find out more about their business, find out about their families, and build those relationships.
So besides you being an executive, you're also a mom, and you, for those listeners who obviously could not hear us, during the break, I asked Catherine, I said, is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything we need to talk about? And she said, I'd love to talk about my daughter. And of course, yeah, I'm big on daughters. So Catherine told me that her daughter scored a major success just recently. So I'm turning it to you, and brag about your daughter all you want.
Well, thank you. My daughter, Ava, is 18 years old, which is hard to believe, and she's graduating high school. And from the time she was a little girl, she has wanted to be an actress. I can't understand why she wouldn't want to go to business school like her mom, yeah. But she had a dream to be an actress. And instead of telling her no, or she's silly, we talked about, okay, well, how do we get to be an actress? So when she got a little older, I sent her to a young actors camp in California, and she really solidified that she loved it and she wanted to continue. And then she went to a summer session at UCLA. And then as she got to high school, her advisor talked to her about the program she might want to go to. And she set her sights on NYU Tisch School of the Arts. And so we knew that she needed a certain grade point, which she pretty much had. She needed a certain score on her ACT. She had to have a great resume. She had to write essays. So I said I was a pretty good chief mommy officer helping to coordinate all that this past fall. And then we were able to go up there for an audition right around her 18th birthday. And we found out right before Christmas that she was accepted to NYU Tisch School of the Arts. So it's probably my proudest moment that I can recount of anything.
And it is, I mean, all kidding aside, it doesn't happen by accident, because there are very, very few kids who will not tell their parents, hey, you know what, I want to be an actor, I want to be a singer, I want to be an artist. But most don't pursue it, because it's something that they have just seen, and it's a, you know, fleeting moment, and off it goes. And but you fostered it, and you put her through not necessarily training, but yeah, it is training, age appropriate, to find out two things: A, is that what she really wants, and B, if that's what she really wants, then you got to work at it in a certain way, and it's a plan. So though she didn't go to business school, mom going to business school helped out tremendously to get Ava to where she has been accepted. And congratulations to her and you. It's a wonderful accomplishment.
Thank you. It was definitely a joint effort.
And here's another question, which we're going to make it be our last one because we've got 2 minutes to close. And it says, great show, Chris. So glad I tuned in. I had no idea what a great company Sam's Club is and all they do for small business. As a small business owner, Staples has been my go-to. Tomorrow, I'm planning to switch to Sam's Club. This is from Larry in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Larry, we're going to be looking at the membership to make sure that you are becoming a member. Thank you very much.
Larry, I can't wait to see you in the club.
Perfect. Well, this is all for our time today. I've had a great deal of fun. I hope it was enjoyable for you, and I hope that you would join us at some future point for another round.
It's been a pleasure, Chris. I would love to.
Thank you so much. I hope the rest of you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Afasiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Afasiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.